This show is all about sound. JF Vachon and Fred Poirier are coming to talk to us about sound design and have a blast in our new studios. Welcome to another episode of Crafting the Imaginary into Play, a behavior interactive podcast. I'm Antoine Caillouet, I'm your host, and I'm once again with the producer of the show, Frico Dussault.
Hi, hi, hi.
How are you doing, Frico?
I'm good, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. It's a beautiful, well, not that beautiful day today, but it's been sunny the past few days. I think it
puts feels
me in a,
good.
Yeah, it puts me in a good spirit right now.
Yes, same.
Yeah, feels like spring. Pretty much.
It does.
Yeah.
Snow is melting. Birds are singing.
That's sad for you because you love snow, right? You love snowboarding.
I do love snow.
Yeah, you
love. I do.
What's the life by the mountain when there's no snow on the mountain?
Well, you do mountain biking.
Oh, that's
right. Hiking.
That's right. That's
many
right.
other sports.
Yeah. Hey, that's a great day too. That why another reason why I'm in such good spirits is that we're recording in a new studio right now.
Oh, yes. And we love it.
You say, oh, yes, like you don't know, but you're in the studio right now.
I am.
Yes.
On these very comfortable chairs.
Yes, I know. Great team that help us now. We know podcast is going places. So we have like a very professional setup right now. Great mics. Great table where to sit at. I feel like a celebrity.
Superstar.
Yeah, celebrity.
Yeah.
Much. I feel like Nick Cage.
Oh, you do?
I do. I'm pretty sure that's how he feels when he records movie and or has roles in our games.
Probably a little.
We have
same, but different.
Same. Yeah, let's agree on that. We have a great show today. For the first time of our very long history, we have two guests at the same time, which was exciting for us.
Super interesting.
Yes. And these two guys are named Jean-Frédéric Vachon and Frédéric Poirier. Jean-Fred is a senior director of audio and merchandising, and Frédéric Poirier is audio director, mostly on Dead by Daylight. And sound design is so interesting to me anyway. I don't know how you what's your opinion about it, but it's such a big world and we don't know much about it and we don't think about it often. If you don't stop to think about it, it's always like, oh, graphics or this or that. But sound design is very important for video games. And we had two great guys, two experts on the subject that came to the show to talk about it for 45 minutes with us.
Yeah, it was so interesting. Imagine a video game without sound.
It would be only Charlie Chaplin in it. That would suck. I mean, no offense, Charlie Chaplin, but, you know, in video games, it would be a bit boring, I guess.
Yeah, so they shared with us cool stories, what they did, where they come from, anecdotes on projects they worked on.
Yeah, pretty funny stuff.
Funny
even gross
yeah,
stuff, too.
You, a bit of gross stuff.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the life of sound designers.
Yeah.
Are you ready for us to start that interview?
I am.
Let's do it, Frico.
Let's do it.
Hey guys, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, wasn't too hard to get here. New
nope.
studios, new place.
No problem.
Right. No, that's not. I'm happy to have you here. It's very nice. And we talked about it in the introduction, but Jean-Frédéric Vachon, senior director of audio and merchandising. What's that? What's merchandising?
It's all the swag, basically. The statues like this.
We can see some swag on
yeah,
Fed.
Like this.
Yeah?
So that's part of my job.
Oh, nice. And we were seeing him, the model right now with the swag on his back, Fred Poirier, who's audio director, mostly, I think, on Dead by Daylight. Is that true?
Audio director on Dead by Daylight.
That's great.
Specifically, yeah.
And you're just looking at everything.
Everything audio.
All the audio of behavior.
Yes.
That's nice. So, well, where are you guys from? Fred, where are you from? I don't know why I have that weird fixation of knowing where people are born and grew up and everything. And I want to know that about you guys.
I think you just want to guess our security question.
I'm a hacker. So Fred, where are you from?
I'm from South Quebec. I'm from Thetford Mines.
Thetford Mines.
Yeah, asbestos, the mines, yes.
My God, are you healthy? Because I know it's not very healthy to be around asbestos that much. Yeah. And what's your background? Have you, because now you're a sound engineer, or you've been a sound engineer, now director. Did you study to become
Yeah,
one?
Exactly. I left my my town to come to Montreal. I came to Montreal.
No sound engineer came
specifically to go to a private school in sound design.
Yeah.
And I got graduated, and I'm in Montreal since then.
So, did you start working straight away after school in sound design? You did.
No. I work as a programmer. Okay. For a security company like Garda. Company.
Yeah. Did you have a gun and everything, or
no?
Oh no, just programming.
But I had to pass through a couple of security doors. Before to get to my desk. Yes, it was high security level. But and I worked as a contractor during years. During 7 years.
7 years.
Yeah. And
so 7 years and no sound design in that.
No, I did some project on my own, but nothing that, no company, no contract, nothing. It was just for fun on my own. But I, after 7 years, I quit the programming job, mm-hmm. and I tried to focus to work on what I'm passionate. So I contact my school and I start from zero. Okay, I will send CVs, curriculum vitae, and I will start over the research. And I found my school put me in contact with GF.
Really?
For an internship. And then I started at Behavior as an integrator.
Sound integrator. Sound integrator. On Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings.
Yeah.
I think you like Indiana Jones quite a bit, right? So you must have been happy to work on that game.
Oh yeah, I didn't know before I start. So the first meeting I got with GF, I will always remember that moment. It's really good.
Was weird? Was
I
awkward,
don't remember it.
Oh, you don't? Does that hurt?
It meant more to you.
And, Jean-Fred, what's your background?
So I studied music at the university. I've got a bachelor's degree in classical music.
Okay.
And I
did you study an instrument in particular?
Yeah, guitar.
Guitar. Oh, still playing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
I'd like to
hear you. Maybe we can do it later. I don't know. A little jam here at the studio.
Yeah, I'll send you some links.
Okay.
Don't ask me to sing, please.
No, okay.
So during my university years, you know, one thing that was clear in my head is that I didn't want to be a teacher.
Okay.
So the 3 months after graduating, I found a job as a teacher. So that didn't last long, that result. I taught at a music school for 6 years. I got to a point where I'm like, you know, this isn't what I'm going to do for my entire life. What could I be doing? And my dad found this ad in the paper. He said, hey, it's weird. They're looking for somebody to do sound effects for video games.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? That sounds interesting.
Your dad had your back.
Yeah, he had my back. He had no reason to look through the ads, so I'm guessing he was, you know, taking pity on me or something.
Yeah, was it? Getting worried about your career.
But thanks, Dad. That was a good move. So I started working on a demo. So basically, I took 1 minute of film that I put, you know, I redid the sound for. Was so long ago that it was on VHS, synced to a computer. That was complicated. So I did this and...
Cutting tape?
No.
Stuff like, no.
The sound design was mixed on the computer, synced to the video.
I didn't know there were computers when you were young.
Where was I? Oh yeah. So
the mixtape.
I wanted to do the music also, to redo the music, but I took a piece from the movie From Russia with Love, the James Bond movie with Sean Connery.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And I love the music in that scene so much. It's the gypsy cam fight that I could not figure out what else to put there. So I was stuck. I only had the sound effects. Turns out the ad only mentioned sound effects, no mention of music. So I'm like, well, I can send it as is. So I sent that in, got an interview, was hired, and started working as a sound designer back when Behavior was still in Quebec City.
Okay, so you're one of the first few employees that were working at, with Behavior back.
Well, Behavior had been active for 7 years back then, so okay. I wouldn't say one of the few, okay. one of the first, but we were 30 people back then, so the Behavior was very, very different.
So you've been there the whole time, pretty yep. much?
24 years.
That's nice. How long have you been at Behavior, Fred?
15 years.
15 years, yeah. Okay. So,
I'm not too rough as a boss, you see.
No, he's been, and you've been his boss the whole time?
Yep.
Too? Wow, that's a nice relationship you guys have going
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of members of the audio team that have been there for 15 plus years or 10 years and everything. And, you know, we're all friends. It's not like we hang out every Friday, but, you know, we see each other and we do stuff. And I think we've got that going. It's not just colleagues. It's really a friendship that appeared over the years.
Yeah.
It's a super fun mood in the department. Yes. Yeah. There's no big competition or
egos
bad feeling or egos. No, it's really fun. We're sharing a lot. And
I think the spirit is we're all trying to lift up the others.
Yeah.
So it's not, I was better than you or my project did better than you. Say, we did this. Maybe you can benefit from this and vice versa. And I think it's a great spirit of sharing.
Very positive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I know that overall, you're both directors. You have people underneath you and so you're not day to day in sound engineer. Are you in sound engineer
no.
Every day doing
it's
sounds and recordings
new for me because yep. I was a sound designer during years and I started that by daylight
yep.
alone with GF as my audio director and we grown and now I have a team, I have a lead. So I my lead and my team take care of the production. And I review assets. I review the audio in the for the game.
So your job basically is people send you their work, and you have to review what they're doing and
yes.
make sure that everything's okay for Dead by Daylight.
If the direction is okay, if we still if we maintain the pillars of the game, if my job is larger, is also more about contracts and the contact with third parties, companies, and so. I don't have time to work on the production.
Yeah.
See, when you do sounds for a killer or something, you want to be concentrated. You want do it.
You have a workflow and be
getting to it and
creativity.
Work on it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't have the chance to be like that anymore.
and that's a tough switch to make.
Yeah.
You had a tough time, and I know I had a tough time when I stopped doing production. Also,
it's another job altogether. Basically, like managing people now.
Yeah, I have my lead that manage people too.
Okay.
So I don't want to say that I'm a manager, mm-hmm. but I'm working on the pre-production. I made things happen. I have to bring ideas. And like I said, I'm there for the direction to maintain the pillars of the game and also to review the sounds for the sound designer and bring them to involve, I would say that to be better. So I push them to push themselves.
And what's the difference with your day to day work, GF?
We're actually, somewhat similar on that level, except my field of action is the entire company. So okay. Dead by Daylight is the largest project that we got. We got 4 sound designer, 1 lead, and Fred over this. Mm-hmm. Most of the projects have maybe 1 director, 2 sound designers, or even sometimes just 1 sound designer. So these projects will require a little bit more management out of me. But as Fred was saying, his job is to make sure that we push the quality, we make it as good as possible. That's also what I do across the entire company. So I make sure that everything that goes out has a level of quality of audio that I'm satisfied with and that is up to the expectations that we got. So my job is to push them to always do better.
Yeah.
And to do basically to make sure that they can do their job without any friction. Mm-hmm. Always say
your roadblocks, you're just trying
exactly.
to get so that they can be in a state of mind where they can create and
exactly.
have
a and
nice
not have
workflow.
To worry. Oh, I need to go to this person and negotiate more time on this. Mm-hmm. That's my job. That's what I do. And the way I like to to describe it is, you know, when you get somebody who's gonna, you know, talk about his car, they're gonna say, look at the color, look at the engine, or they pop the hood and look to show you the engine.
Yeah.
No one ever talks about the oil, but if without oil, everything blows up.
Yeah.
My job is the oil. Okay. It's not sexy. No one's gonna brag about, hey, I put that oil in.
Some people like oil in a sexy life, but you know, I'm not.
Motor oil.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Maybe we have to be precise. Yeah.
I don't want to have that picture of my bus and bubble oil.
But we've been talking about sound design like a little bit from since we started the interview, but I'd like to go deep into the subject right now, because how does it start? How do you make sound design for a game? Where do you start? Do sometimes projects start with the sound design, or do people create the whole game and then add sound design to it? When do you come in play in the game? Where do you
like
start to work?
We like to start at the beginning. Yeah. We like to be involved from the beginning, because we could affect the gameplay. We could affect the objects, the map itself.
Yeah.
So it's important that we can bring our creativity from scratch. And that was the case for Dead by Daylight, by example.
When you started, the game was just blocks. Mm-hmm. They were trying out the multiplayer aspect by having split screen.
Yeah.
But you can't play Dead by Daylight if you know what the other. So they put a cardboard sheet between in the middle of the screen so that two people could play on the same TV without seeing each other. And that's how, you know, that's the first proof of concept that Fred came up with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So the you know, when you start at the prototype level, you could bring ideas that will change the game.
Yeah.
So it's like the heartbeat in Dead by Daylight, the distance, to bring the idea to we need music for this, so that help to do a design document.
Yeah.
That bring the vision that we will need to achieve for the game.
And I think by being there from the start, the design team was able to see, oh, we can use audio to give a lot of cues, which, you know,
to the players.
If they'd brought in an audio designer, you know, 6 months into the project, they would have figured out different solutions by then, and audio would have just come in, well, you know, I'm just gonna make a ping when you do this, and
you're not just executing what the other part of the team wants you to do. You're also part of the creative process. Yeah. And that's nice.
And the best projects, the best games will have audio as part of the design. They'll use this as, you know, for cues, for information, for feedback. The worst thing you can do is just, hey, here's the game, put some sound on it. You know, it's like finishing a cake and saying, put the icing on it. You know, it's not going to change what the cake is.
But talking about cake, I worked in the restaurant industry for many years. And, you know, chefs always do their menus, and then sommeliers add the wines around the food. But there's now restaurants and chefs that do the opposite. They start with the wines, and then they put the food around the wines.
Yep.
Has it ever happened to you that you created something, you had an idea for a sound, or for sound design, and then a game comes around sound design? Is this something that's being made right now?
I have an example for that. The chase in Dead by Daylight, I mean, the chase was there, but it was not named or not part of the gameplay yet. And I, in my design, I had the 4 layers of music for the distance with the killer. And then I feel that the feedback to the player was not clear, because it was like one layer didn't help at all. So I just take the last layer, and I said, oh, maybe we can put that on the chase. So I went to see the game designer at that time, and I tried to figure out with him, can we figure out some rules to start the music when we get in the chase? What is the condition for the chase? And so that kind of collaboration is really interesting, because we bring something alive like that.
So it started from sound design, pretty much. The idea started that.
Yes, well, and no. I mean, the
collaboration.
Both of them came together organically. Yeah. And then I think when there's this conversation between design and audio, that's when, you know, the magic happens, I think.
And you were talking about layers. Can you explain what layers are? Because I'm complete noob in sound design.
I may be a bit too much technical.
No, but that's why we like that. I just need a lot of explaining, because, you know, I'm not super fast. But no, I don't know about sound design. So what's the layers now?
So, how do you start? You know, we're gonna if you have a music track, you know, you've got a a lot of different instruments. So in games, what we do is we'll split them in layers. So you can have, you know, a layer that's the percussions.
Yep.
Then you have a layer that's maybe additional percussion.
Okay.
You have another layer is going to have the bass and the rhythm instruments.
It's like making a song, basically, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then you have another layer that's going to be, you know, the solo instrument, let's say. So you can have a situation where you start the game and, you know, you start with the percussion track and the rhythm instruments, and that's it. So it's basically just, you know, comping and, you know, just a nice little background. Then something happens and, you know, you put on the layer that has more percussion. So, oh, suddenly it's busier, and so you're telling the player something happened, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, you should pay attention because something's happening. And then maybe if, you know, they're getting into a fight, you're going to kick in the layer with the solo instruments, and then it's this triumphant. It's like, ah, nice. Now I got the melody, and you feel you're into it. It's like, you know, when Superman starts to fly, and, you know, you get that John Williams music going, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So that's what, when we're talking about layers, that's what we're talking about.
Okay, because that makes me think, you know, it's, to me, it sounds very complicated, and it sounds like I would never be able to do that. But obviously, there's people that can do that. But what makes a good audio engineer or a sound designer? What qualities do you look for? Because you don't necessarily need a music background, I guess. No, it's not all musicians that do that, right? You don't have a music background, do you?
No, at all. Yeah, I was really interested in sound design, yeah. not music. I did some music for fun, but I sent that for my internship, and I'm not proud of that. But yeah,
your music, yeah, some songs that you did.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, so you got the job, so that worked.
But some skills. There's many difference between sound designer. Some are really good to editing. Some are really good in mixing. Some are really good in capturing sound. Mm-hmm. With mics. So it's a mix of everything like that. So it could be also be creative or be technical, mm-hmm. because sometimes some sound designers are really good to make the mechanics and the integration. So the trigger in game that will play the sound, yep. and how we do the trigger. But on the other side, some sound designers are really, really good with sounds and, you know, the
atmosphere and
you know, the pedals for the guitar, metal guitar.
Yeah.
Imagine that you have a lot of guitar, the pedals, and you play with that, and you make a new sounds from it. So that's how digitally sometimes sound designer work.
And you also assign, because we were talking about that the other day, but do you have like specific castings for your employees? Do you know some projects, that guy is going to be great at doing this, or that girl is going to be amazing?
So we try as much as possible to put people on projects where they'll, you know, be able to shine. So I have affinity with the type of game. I have affinity with, you know, the requirements. It's not always possible. Sometimes, you know, you're the one whose project is finishing and there's another project that's starting and it's not a perfect match, but, you know, you got to make it work. But as much as possible, we try to figure things out. And, you know, Fred mentioned the technical aspects and the artistic aspects. And traditionally, it's something we see as the yin and a yang. You're either one or you're the other. But
yeah.
Sound designers in game, especially, you know, the team that, you know, we have, we found people that are a good mix of both. And it's really rare, but people who are, as you know, at ease making systems and trying to figure out triggers and things like this, as they are as to create sounds. And the artistic aspect, you know, it's a good sound designer doesn't just listen to something and say, oh, I could put that when I have the same thing in the game. They listen to something and like, you know what, if I pitch it down, run it through a flanger and put a little bit of distortion, it could sound like a spaceship or whatnot. So it's this mentality of hearing sounds around you and trying to figure out how you can manipulate them, how you can play them and play with them, I should say. So that's, they're a little...
It's funny because last summer I got an idea for a video game sound. You want me to tell you what it is? I'll do it. Yeah. Do you know how a cardinal, the birds, like the red birds, how they sound? They sound like lasers. And I thought maybe that's the start of a new video game, but we can start with like a sci-fi game that have birds as superheroes, and we could use birds' sounds as weapons and everything. But you know, I give it to you. If you want to do something with that,
you might be onto something.
Yeah. But because you said that you have to take sounds and modify them and make them go through hoops and everything to make them sound a little different. That's pretty nice, right? Do you go out and record like in outside and everywhere with mics? How do you get new sounds? Is there like a bank or anything?
We have sound banks, sound libraries, the way we can, you know, pull sounds. So, sometimes the sound is not, you know, super easy to get. You know, if you need a Boeing taking off, you might as well pull it off of a sound bank. But yeah. You know, one thing that I always ask of our sound designers is never take the sound as is from the libraries and put it in the game. Uh-huh. Always modify it.
Because I've heard that the same sounds in several occasions in movies. I could hear sounds from games I was playing when I was a kid. I was like, what? Yeah. They didn't make a big effort. Now it's the same sound I heard in '98, and now it's in a movie in 2020.
I remember when I started at Behavior, and you know, we had all these CDs of sound effect, and I started, you know, listening to all of them to try to familiarize myself with what was available. And I kept saying, hey, this is sound effects from this. This is sound effect from that. This is from this. You know, that sucks. You know, I remember watching TV with my wife, and there's a commercial that comes on, and I'm like, hey, that sound is from Sound Ideas 632.
Yeah, you know the exact name in the folder.
So it's like, that's bad a little bit. But, you know, you were talking about, you know, your example of the Cardinal, and it sounds like a laser. You know, we've all seen Star Wars. The sound design on this was made by the amazing Ben Burtt. And there's stuff like the sound of the gun shooting.
Yeah, iconic sound now.
It's you know, when you get to like a steel pillar, and there's a wire that's really taut to try to keep it up.
Yeah.
And he went to one and with a hammer, and he just hit on it, and he recorded.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he sped it up.
Okay.
And it became the pew that we all know.
Nice, yeah.
You know, the TIE fighters or elephant brain. If you listen to the pass by for the Millennium Falcon.
You said it's an elephant.
Yeah.
Like
That's the sound of an elephant.
I didn't know that.
But manipulated.
So I am onto something with my bird sound.
Anytime there's a pass by on the Millennium Falcon, you know, there's the roar of the machine. There's a lion's roar mixed with everything.
That's crazy. I didn't know that. Yeah,
it makes me. You're going to hear the lion every time now.
Yeah, I know. Maybe you screwed Star Wars for me now. Yeah. You ruined
That's
it.
That's impossible.
But it's cool to talk about that, because I was wondering, preparing the interview, how do you guys get your inspiration to create new sounds? Like, because I know on Dead by Daylight, for example, we have a lot of chapters every year and stuff. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you have a lot to create and a lot to put in, and the next chapter comes in pretty fast, and you have to have new ideas for sounds or new killers or new survivors.
We have some original killers, and we have also a licensed killer.
Yeah.
So in case of original killers, yes, we need to be creative and we need to get inspired. But sometimes creative team came with visual and concept that they're inspiring.
Yeah.
It's really good. So it's not that hard to figure something out, but sometimes we need to, you know, explore.
Yeah.
And sometimes we can find, we want to do a sound and particularly, but we found something else. Mm-hmm. And then we keep it for, this is interesting. So I keep it for later and I finish my sound. So there's a exploration to do.
Are you a horror fan? Do you have to listen to movies?
I hope by now.
I was a real fan of horror games.
Yeah.
And I had to watch a lot of movies at the beginning.
He did. That was scary, honestly.
The amount of movies he watched?
I love horror films. I love horror movie soundtracks. He listened to so much. I was like, dude, are you okay?
He got scary in real life. But that's good for that. I guess that helped you for... creation, sound design. But
I'm going to jump in. The thing that was amazing, and he would come away and said, I listened to, you know, this movie, I watched this movie, and I really like what they're doing with the bass. I'm like, what do you mean what they're doing with the bass? No, and he'd come in, they're using this for this, and they're, you know, so he came out with all these elements, these not rules, but almost, you know, tricks that he just compiled. And he, you know, over the course of the production, you know, he would go back to that and say, I can do this to evoke that that feeling, or I could go back to this.
Yeah.
So it's never ripping off what that other movie did, but it's just taking inspiration and folding it into the Dead by Daylight recipe.
And now it became the basis, like the baseline of Dead by Daylight, pretty much.
Kind of. It's a little bit more complicated because at some point we have some key point I can say that we had to not change it, but influence us in some time. I mean, when we did Stranger Things, the mix of Stranger Things, it's 80s, but modern.
Yeah.
So we had to adapt a little bit to fit that in the game. From the beginning, my research was to get not something in common, but I want to do sound design, like the base of the sound design, to be compatible with every horror.
Okay.
So it was, I didn't want to be like,
it couldn't be as clear cut as for example, you got Friday the 13th and you got and it's this thing and it's sort of the only thing that drives it. We didn't want to have something like this. It needed to be flexible and be adaptable.
Yeah.
So that flexibility was super important for me. And I didn't know at that time that we were going to 9 years of DLCs.
It was supposed to be a quick project, right? Dead by Daylight, think, at some point.
Yeah. It was a small project. It was not the biggest project at that time. So at Behavior. And I mean, the first DLC was the Halloween DLC.
Yeah.
And we were like so proud, and it was like an achievement. And
I love great. Halloween. That was so
were
great.
You proud to do Halloween or Indiana Jones when you got at Behavior?
Oh,
that's a good question.
It's hard.
I'm not going to make you choose. Is sound design different whether you have original colors or licenses that come into the game? Is it easier? Is it harder to do original or the opposite? Is it?
We learned a lot about, we were maybe more, we feel that the license killer was really important to learn how to deal with the licensor and how to make the things correctly.
You have more limits with licenses?
There are politics involved, you know. You've got someone whose job is to make sure that we respect the license, but, you know, what that means is their version of it.
Yeah.
So sometimes we feel we've respected, you know, the license, we've been faithful to them, but they don't feel that, oh, we don't like this, or sometimes they'll come up with rules. It's like, this character cannot do this because it evokes this or that, and so you're sometimes sideswiped by the request.
We learn how to process that creative process. We learn how to improve it through years, and at the beginning we put more importance in licensed content, but we did good content, original content too, and the players was really happy with the killers and the original killers. And now I feel that we achieve a kind of process that we have the same process for both.
Okay.
And also because I have a team, it's really easier to deal like that. So it's like the licensor are important to approve and to say that for them it's really important that they approve the.
Of course, yeah.
It's their baby, so I can't do what we want. So
yeah.
And often there's a lot of, you know, it's Dead by Daylight. It's not the license game, so we have to find a way to took some sounds from the game of the movie and put that on the BD gameplay. So we have to
make everyone
have a
happy
discussion here. It's the same for like Alien. We want to respect the sounds of the Alien itself.
And so Alien as a franchise has millions of fans, so they I'm pretty sure they expect to have the real sounds in it and the sounds that respect the what they heard in the movies.
But we know Alien, but they are the expert there. Mm-hmm. So I like to have the discussion to bring their vision in our game too. So that kind of discussion, that kind of exchange is really nice. It's really great for bring quality.
Because it's a franchise, you have things that you have to respect. But when you're creating new characters in Dead by Daylight, how's the whole process going? How do you create a personality for Killers? Is it the rest of the team that creates, that has an idea of where they want to go with the character? We have a couple characters on the shelves here, and the clown and everything.
And the trapper.
How do they start? Like the clown behind you, I think you have like a, you made the sounds for the clown?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
How does it?
I have a story for each killer. I write.
Oh, yeah.
You can start me.
But how does it work when you're creating a new character like the clown like that? And
the creative Dave Richard, that is our creative director, is he bring the concept, the main concept, and there's also the narrative team that develop the lore of the killer, of the characters. So it's a collaboration from there. So I work with the artistic director, work with the animator, and we bring something alive. Why I said animators? Because also the movement of the killer is it could be like really important to know if it's moving fast, moving weird, moving like also the alien was quadruped.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So it was the first time that we tried that quadruped movement and
footsteps. Did you record a horse and then you switch the sound to make it sound a bit like
No. But we had to calibrate the weight.
Oh yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was too stealth, not enough stealth. So we need to come back and put more weight on the alien. It was not easy, but it was really interesting to do. It was our first quadruped experience. So each killer is a challenge.
Yeah,
really.
And you got to be careful because, you know, if we go back to that example of, you know, trying to gauge the weight of the xenomorph, audio can sell the concept. It can also make it fail.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, if we leave footsteps that make you think that this is a very light being,
7-year-old kid,
then it just doesn't work. It's not as scary, you know. Mm-hmm. If something is really large or really massive, then you gotta have the footsteps that go with it. Everything's gotta tell you that this is a massive creature or being. So it's very important to get that right.
And do you
sometimes
have,
it's too right. I remember the
it's
plague.
Scary because you're too it's too fast because you're, no, you you nail it too
it's
fast.
It's too efficient. I let me talk.
Yeah, it's
about
got a good story.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The plague. The plague is a priestess that she's sick and she's like vomit on survivors and
yeah.
So I did the sound of the vomit and gurgling and it was really effective. So
oh, yeah.
the cue
you were the
team,
one who did the sounds yourself.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Can you try it?
You don't want to do that.
Okay.
He grossed out the entire QA team, so you don't want him to do this.
Yeah. So actually, the QA teams did a kind of gentle petition.
Yeah.
To force me to turn down the sounds because this was they get sick like playing testing
really?
The game. So I did 3 pass. I was proud. I was so proud. I was, yeah.
Because it worked.
I mean, it's 100% effective sounds. Like, yeah, you get sick playing the game. Come on.
You go back home after the day, your day's work, and you're like, I'm getting paid doing puke sounds.
Yeah.
But then you gotta see it also is, you know, if the QA is getting grossed out and don't want to play the character, the players won't want to play the character.
Yeah.
So you gotta make sure that you're never making the character, you know, unplayable for a long period of time.
Do you have other funny stories like that recording? I don't know if I guess starting your career, you had to be in record booths with actors or doing sounds. Do you have any funny stories or things that comes to mind?
Well, there's always funny stories about doing field recording, but there's one that comes to mind is when we did the game Monster House, based on the animated movie. And in this movie, you got a bunch of kids who think the house next door is alive. They go in and they're armed with water pistols. This being a video game, the water pistols are you know big, and you can upgrade them and make them even more powerful. So I was like, how am I going to do this? You know, you start looking through the sound effects libraries, and you know, nobody's thought of putting water guns in there. So I went to Toys R Us and I bought the biggest water pistol that I could find and I expensed it. You know, it's one of those moments like, my job is amazing.
Yeah.
So I went, you know, I went home and I went outside and I, you know, I loaded it up. I had a microphone on a stand. You know, you're careful not to, you know, put water on the microphone. And I started, you know, pumping this thing, and it was the most boring sound I'd ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Basically, as big as it was.
Yeah,
it was more air than anything. So I'm like, oh, what the heck am I going to do? So I went and I got the garden hose, and I had an old garden hose that was all, you know, I never take the time to, you know, loop it properly when I put it away. So it had all these folds in it. And when you turn on the water, you know, you'd get these air pockets.
Yeah.
So you get... So I recorded all of this, chopped it off in little bits, and that was the basis of the water guns in Monster House.
Really, that's nice. It's because you hear stories sometimes. What I heard stories of people doing sound effects in movies with cabbage and salads and anything like that.
Yeah.
So it's almost like that, right? You have to figure out how to make something that a sound that we're used to make it sound cooler and to switch it a little bit, because you're not going to get real powerful pistol sounds at Toys R Us, I guess.
Yeah. And the funniest thing about doing, you know, the vegetables, the celeries and the melons and everything is having the producer come to you and say, why is your sound designer expensing their groceries?
Are we paying them?
It's like, it's not their groceries. It's sound, you know, recording.
It's blood. It's bones.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, that's another funny thing to buy at their grocery and expense, a pile of bones and blood. Do you have, and I'm sure there's going to be people listening to this interview that are interested to become sound engineers and start in the business. Do you have any tips or advice for people when they start their career? How do you get in?
Well, these days, I think it's a lot easier than when I started, because now you have access to so much stuff. You know, we were talking about doing the implementation. You got sound engines like Wyze or FMOD that are readily available that you can download, you can learn. They've got classes online that you can enroll. You can get certified in Wyze. You know, you got no reason not to start, you know, building stuff, building your skill set. There are schools like, you know, the one Fred went to. There are tons of schools that will teach you this also. The creative aspect, you gotta, you know, we've been talking about sound design. You gotta have that mindset. You gotta be making sounds, recording stuff, manipulating them, putting them into Wyze, into sound banks, and trying to figure out how you can, you know, put some variety and interactivity in those. And then you gotta build your portfolio.
Yep.
So a lot of people say, well, how can I build a portfolio if I don't work on a game? You don't have to work on a game.
Yeah.
No, do a project in Wyze, send the project, or even better, do a screen capture, you know, a screen recording while you're going through, and do a little bit of narration as to what I created, you know, these footstep sounds by recording, you know, my sister on walking on gravel and running shoes and then in boots and everything, whatever it is, you know, you just explain your process.
That I think there's a sound engineer now that works at Behavior that didn't work on a game and got, he did like in a field or something that you talked to me about the other day. Like he was not working on a game.
The demo was a scene from a movie, and it was a guy standing in a field. I mean, I gotta say to any prospective sound designer listening to this, enough with the action shots. Mm-hmm. The shootouts, the explosions, the car wrecks, I don't care.
I guess it's harder to make something that's subtle and
exactly more, because, you know, you're just showing me that you can put a sound effects of a gunshot and put it at the right moment. But to me, that those are the little details that shows me that you still have some learning to do as to figuring out the role of sound in real life, but a role of sound in a visual medium.
Yeah.
So anything like this. So the guy who sent me the demo, it's a guy in a field, and I was drawn in. You hear the grass, you know, moving the wind and everything, and, you know, the sound in the distance, and I was like, oh, now that takes skill to really draw me into this scene. So you got to be creative, and you can't just go for the gunshots and the big action trailer and I redid all the sounds. I was like, yeah, okay. You know, this is the 24th Call of Duty trailer redo that I received in the last week. So thank you, but.
And you must got.
Yeah, also it could be based on what project you apply. If it's a horror game, don't send me a video of shooting.
Yeah.
I don't have guns. Yeah. So I don't care.
Yeah. If we advertise that it's Dead by Daylight,
Do you always know what project you're going to be working on if you apply it?
It could be confidential.
Yeah.
But
New game.
But now for Dead by Daylight, we come out and say this is for Dead by Daylight.
But that's my other trick for a tip for a trick.
Yeah.
Trick,
yeah. Or advice.
Tricks and tricks.
Yeah.
Trick or tricks. But the play the game that you apply to.
Yeah.
Is so important. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it and you don't want to work for it, you will know. Mm-hmm. But it's important that you may have an opinion. You may have, you may try to understand what is the sound design. And then when you are in the interview, you can show us that you understand a bit of the sound design of the game. You can know characters, that it bring us. It's hard to know if someone is really involved in the project.
Yeah, I mean, you must
if
see
he
that,
said,
yeah.
"Oh no, I don't know. I watch a video and it's okay." So I don't feel that he's really passionate.
Yeah, and that he wants to come work for the studio where he applies or something. Yeah.
And for me, the passion and the collaboration is too big value for me. Mm-hmm. It's really important. You need to, if it's your passion, you have fun working. So we need that. We need to have that fun environment that everyone is passionate about audio and want to do audio, learn more and bring more ideas and
Guys, if you're listening, just take notes. Hey, Fred Poirier and Jean-Fred Vachon, thank you very much for the interview. It was a nice time. It was great, right? We had a fun time. We had a blast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks to you.
My pleasure.